I mean, I really love the weather convenience, as you can use your phone to pay everywhere. We're gonna do one activity. You have to teach each other one sentence in your native language.
If you want to ask something like "ni hao ma," basically you can say "ka tu yu des,"
ka
tu
tu
yu des,
yu des.
Yeah, ka tu yu des,
ka tu yu des.
Yeah.
Hi there. This is FHSS Radio. I'm Daniel, and you host here, an international student from Russia. Today we'll talk about cultural differences in university life. Studying abroad isn't just about changing countries, it's about changing perspectives. From classroom to cultural habits, every detail matters. In this episode, Hannah from Malaysia, Jude from England, and Yanis from Latvia will dive into the real experiences of international students here at UNNC. Soon we'll know what happens when education goes global. Guys, please introduce yourselves in a couple of words.
Yeah, I'm Jude. I come from a small town in England.
My name is Yanis and I'm 21 years old.
I'm Hannah. I'm from Malaysia. I'm actually from the Birmingham, Malaysia campus. So I'm here for exchange a year.
Okay, thank you guys. Let's start with something like we all came through, choosing a major. For me, it was quite a journey because in Russian high school, you learn variety of subjects and you're free to choose whatever major you want. The thing I noticed is that now the focus is changing to social sciences and IT. Guys, back in your country, what are the determinants? Like, how do you choose your major? Do your parents influence your decision or the society, your community?
So in around secondary time, students aren't really free with their choices and their subjects and stuff. They're kind of put into streams. So like, kind of like business streams or science streams, which, I mean, that obviously influences what they choose in university, because with that, they choose their like post-secondary education, like diploma and like all those subjects. And then after that, they choose their major for university. But then with their streams, I think I'm pretty sure they do a test to determine what stream they're like fit for. And also it's determined by their interests as well. I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Parents also kind of influence their choices a lot with, I mean, especially for me, I kind of took inspiration with what my dad was doing because he's in the kind of financial business area. So then I assume that it's kind of the same for other students in Malaysia. So.
Yeah. For me, it's the same back home in Latvia. I would say like the biggest thing is that my classmates, they chose their majors following by either what their parents were interested in or like their specific interests. For example, psychology, then they would try to like become a therapist, for example, something like that. And for me, it was the same thing. My dad is in finance, and that's why, yeah, for me, I chose business because it just made sense. Mm. It's very popular in the modern days to actually choose business because that's like the default major that you know that's going to bring you some value, even if you don't know that you're going to actually like it or not.
So. Yeah.
Okay. What are the most popular majors in your country? Just business or is there something like, I think in some countries, engineering is one of the popular ones.
I would say back home in Latvia, I would say business. Yeah, that's the default one. And then I would say like the next thing is actually something to do with medicine. Yeah, to actually become a doctor or something more niche down. So, yeah.
I feel like in England, it's very different. Like your parents probably sway from what you pick a lot less. It's different whether maybe if you're publicly educated, you probably follow your passion a lot more. If you're privately educated, maybe your parents will have a lot more of a decision on what you pick. But generally speaking, I don't think students listen to their parents as much. Go for what they're passionate with. Or
did you listen to your parents?
To be fair, they had a bit more he was saying over my decisions. But more because of schooling. But I know a lot of my friends, they just did what they were passionate about. But I think it just depends on your background and how you've been raised. But I think a lot of people in England do pick courses easier and less exam orientated. It's a big thing. I think culture in England is less education, less academics, and it's more party.
Is it different in Malaysia?
Honestly, what I said, that is in the public schools. And that only happens with students that take the national exam and stuff. But then it does differ to students that take, like, they go to international schools because they, I guess they have more freedom and they take, like, IGCSEs rather than the national exam. So they're exposed to more options and it's a lot less pressure in terms of the streams, like, the confined, like, restricted streams that you can go into and stuff.
Okay, so I see in England and Malaysia, type of school plays a big role. Whereas in Latvia, it's more about following parents' path. Great, now we can discuss how we all ended up here at UNNC. For me, personally, I didn't expect to find a foreign university in China. I was glad when on Instagram I saw UNNC because it offers British education with Chinese experience, which in my opinion is valuable. What about you, dude?
Yeah, so I started university in England. I went to university in England for 1 year. I went to Loughborough University. And it was a very sports-based university. After 1 year, I was doing well, but I decided I wanted something new. And my uncle told me about China and university of Nottingham and Bert. And I looked into it and I saw that I could transfer and I thought it'd be a very good opportunity to explore a different culture and a whole new place and step out of my comfort zone. So I thought maybe this would be the best thing for me.
That's about culture.
I think culture, business, it's very different. In England, I'm the same as everybody else, right? Everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's doing business, economics. Everybody's competing for internships. I come here, then I'm different. Right. So I think it comes down to what I want to do in the future and standing out from the crowd compared to all my peers back in England.
Yeah. Okay.
Good thing. Yeah. I would say back home, my influence started from my dad because, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, he's a self-made businessman and like in finance. And basically for him, it was like in Latvia, it's very hard to actually find any kind of like good contacts or opportunities. So for me, it was putting myself in a position where I'm completely unfamiliar with the culture, which is in China, and basically try to go as much international as I can. And I think for me, China was the best place. And okay, we settled on the country, but then it actually took, like, came upon finding the right university. At first, I looked into the like a lot of opportunities, but I actually found that UNNC had the best program that I actually liked, which was learning Mandarin. And right now, my major is actually international business with management. And I would say that was like the biggest factor for me actually coming here because it was two worlds coming together and here in this campus. So yeah, that's why I'm here.
I think I'm a little bit similar as well. I kind of wanted to be different because everybody in the Malaysia campus picks the UK. They go to the UK. It's kind of boring there. Everybody knows the story. But not a lot of people come to China. And so I kind of wanted to be, I wanted to share my story about like coming here and stuff. Yeah.
So for you, was it like they planned something or do you just like, oh, that's China and...
More the second one. I don't know what I was really planning. Honestly, like I knew I wanted to do exchange, but I knew I didn't want to go to the UK. So the only other option was Canada or China. So I was like, oh, maybe China because it's so completely different. But I also had a friend who exchanged to Malaysia from the China campus. And she said that like she had really good stuff to say about the China campus and everything. So I was really also influenced by her a little bit to come here.
Now, all of you three experienced like both learning styles, like back in England or Malaysia or Latvia. So what do you think is the most different part in like comparing your education experience?
China is intense. That's the best way to describe
it. That's a great way to describe it.
Even in England, I mean, the days were longer private school. But when I speak to people here about some school day lengths, I'm taken back. But I do really admire the work ethic of most of the students here. I really do admire it. Yeah, I think intense is the best way to say it. Everybody's working nonstop. And you go to the library at any point of the day or any teaching room anywhere and somebody's in. Somebody's working. So okay. I think that's very different to England. I mean, my people, I say at Loughborough University that studied is just not like this at all.
Mm. Yeah, here it's a lot more competitive, I feel like, than in Malaysia. And so with that, the Chinese students are a lot more reserved, I feel like, than in Malaysia, and I'm sure in your countries as well. And so in terms of school and classes, I see that they just come into class, they sit down, they open their laptop, they watch the lecture, they listen, and then they just leave. They don't even talk to anybody, or they don't even discuss anything. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the first, I was like, whoa, what? Like, you guys are so intense. You guys don't even like talk to anyone. Are you guys not taking breaks? Even the break was silent in the room. And I was like, wait, so like, why am I the only one talking? Yeah. Intense is, 100%. To describe it.
For me, it was the fact that there was no conversations with the lecturers. That would actually surprise me, because back home, the whole lecture would be basically discussing the topic, but with the students. That is like the biggest difference here, because I feel like every student is so focused on actually understanding the topic, being intense, is that no one actually interacts with the professors.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is something very new for me.
Yeah.
But what about life outside classroom? For me, it's very different from what I had back in Russia. And this diversity is enjoying. I mean, I really love the weather convenience, as you can use your phone to pay everywhere. So what was your first impression of China? How was it to come here to experience new weather, food, new culture, people?
It was very hot. I was sweating. I came here with the idea that it's going to be like normal weather, but the humidity here is, it's completely different level comparing back home. I was, those first 2 days, they were actually very hard just for me as a person trying to like adapt to the culture, not knowing a thing. Or, for example, I remember my first days, I didn't know that you could actually, like, there was like a specific time you can only come on campus. And I didn't know that. I actually came here on the 8th and the campus opened on the 10th. So basically I had to somehow manage to get a hotel at 3 a.m. in China. And try to contact with my parents through Snapchat maps, trying to like locate where is the hotel, and just spend the night. It was very interesting.
I think the thing that you all agree is that in China, people just rarely speak English.
Yeah.
That may be the difference. Okay. But comparing to Malaysia, like the weather, I won't say that it maybe not surprised you.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Okay, I didn't expect it, to be honest. Like, I didn't expect it to be so hot. So it was a little bit of a surprise. But like when it got to winter and fall, that's when I was very much out of my element and I had to layer up so much. I had to like wear gloves, wear scarves, wear like earmuffs and everything. I can't handle the cold, I find. And also here in Ningbo, it's so weird because the autumn and the spring, the weathers are so different every single day. I mean, this week, for 4 days, it's really, really hot. And then in like 2 days, it's going to be really rainy and cold.
Yeah.
So then that was also something I had to adjust to. But I'm surprised I didn't get really sick, which I'm very proud of myself. I took care of myself well. But not that much of a difference at the start. But gradually, it was
I can even tough. Add that, that like the biggest thing that I've noticed is that my parents, when I'm talking about the weather, they're like, how is it possible that during the day it's like +25, but during the night it's like almost below 10?
Yeah.
And like just like the shift.
Yeah.
It's so major. And just
exactly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in England, it just rains. So.
Okay. That's great. But what about food? It's completely different from like what you experience in Europe or England, for example.
Yes. It's very different to what you find in England. I think, generally speaking, I much prefer the food here. I don't have milk, so I'm intolerant to milk. So back home, I'd really struggle with eating things if I get ill. But in China, I've had no problem eating anything because there's literally not milk in most food. in food, I've not really had any problems. I did get ill one time from eating too many pig's ears. So I'll probably stay away from it. Yeah. I love Chinese food. It's amazing.
It's good. It's very flavorful. But yeah. As a Muslim, it's a little bit hard to find like halal options and stuff.
Mm.
Or because they don't really... There's some food that they just say meat. And I have no idea. It's just meat. I'm like, well, so are you going to tell me what meat it is? Or like, it's usually always pork, right? So I kind of stay away from that. Anyways, yeah, it's a little bit harder for me to find food. But I mean, we do have the halal canteen anyway.
Yeah.
So what about spiciness? Yeah, or oiliness of these foods?
I would say, yeah, that was actually the thing that I noticed. Here in China, is that I got way too many coals in my, like, way too much oil on my coals that I couldn't wash out because of oiliness on the food. Everything's basically just fried. And at the start, I was like, okay, I'm just something new. And I actually liked it because I just enjoy food. But so at some point, I felt like I wanted to actually eat something fresh, not fried. Mm-hmm. And yeah, then I discovered Aussie Pies. This is not an ad.
Aussie Pies, shout out.
Then, like, what about the cultural difference in general? What would you say?
I mean, I kind of mentioned this before, how locals are really, really shy. So, honestly, like, not a lot of them approached me or anything or tried to talk to me, which I found a little bit sad. Because I kind of wanted to talk to them, but it's fine. But also, in the canteen, this is something that shocked me the most. Is the eating culture here in Malaysia? Eating is a very social thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you always eat with someone. You never really eat alone, mm-hmm. or at least in public alone. So then when I went to the canteen, I saw so many people with like their phones out and like them watching stuff. And even if they're with people, mm-hmm. they're always on their phone as well, which very shocked me. Like, I was like, how are you? You're literally with someone. What do you mean you're? You're both watching like two different things. I'm so confused. Yeah.
Okay, that's true. I would say that I noticed that people, like, if you ask for help, you will always get it, like, from anyone.
A lot nicer than English people. 100% say that. I've not met everybody I've spoken to always wants to help, whether it's academic or outside, if I've had any problems. So that's definitely very, very, very different to England. Germany speaking.
Yeah. I just wanted to add that in the crazy part for me is that even if they can't help you directly, they're just going to do their best to actually try to locate someone that can actually help you. It's just, it's a completely different experience here.
Yeah. What about, like, do you have some homesickness or, you know, do you miss your family or, like, this stuff? When you came here, like, you are alone in new country, what was your experience?
I would say for me, yeah, of course, I think every international student misses their home, like at some level. For me, it was very hard, actually, the first semester, but I've adjusted to it and then become a independent person that can actually live by myself and be able to have a sustainable life where I'm not constantly thinking about home. And I just got used to the culture. And now I can actually call China my second home, which is something nice.
That's really nice. Yeah. For me, honestly, when I first came here, I wasn't really that homesick, but it got to like November, December when it started getting cold.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is so different to home. So I was really, really homesick and I really missed the food because it's a little different than home. So I was really missing that, especially my mom's cooking. Yeah. And especially right now because it's Ramadan and it's a time for like spending with family and stuff. I'm very, really homesick, but it's like I know a Malaysian, and so I'm spending a lot of time with her and also talking with my family a lot. So that's how I'm kind of alleviating that sadness, I guess.
I mean, not like drastically. I'm quite used to independence, so it's not really been an issue for me. I mean, I speak to my parents on a regular basis.
That's great. Guys, what about mental health and well-being? When you came to China, okay, we already said that most of you were independent, prepared for new life. But at the same time, for example, have your peers or friends experienced any challenges or feeling alone? How fast did you find your friends?
For me, I think that the first day that I got settled in, I just went outside and I literally went up to some Spanish people and started talking to them. Because I knew that if I was just going to sit in my room, well, it's not going to be, I'm not going to be in a healthy, mental state. So just socializing with other people and actually making friends is, I feel like, the best way to actually get used to a culture and actually adjust to it.
100%. The first semester, I was a homebody. I was in my room most of the time. But in this semester, I'm going out a lot more. So I think I really feel the contrast between those two. And I feel like I should, people should go out. People should socialize. It's good. And it's good for your mental health. And especially finding people that, you can relate to, whether you know it or not.
I think, just being proactive, and agree with both of you said, just being proactive and mingling with other groups and just trying to get yourself out there. Like, if you feel that way, nothing's going to change if you don't help and try to change it yourself. So, yeah.
Okay. And then what advice would you give to other international students coming to China or any other country, but especially to China, I'd say?
Come with an open mind, I think, is the biggest thing. Yeah, I think you need to come around and experience everything for yourself, especially coming from the West. I know a lot of my friends and family who's got no idea, and you can come up with your own idea about China without even coming. I think that's a very harsh way to think and form a perspective. So I think come with an open mind. And I'd say this about anything, students, people coming to as tourists, just in general, I think come with an open mind. And I'm sure you will love it.
Try to talk to as many people as you can, especially as international students. This is probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where you are in such a community where we have so many perspectives and cultures, different people coming in at different times and stuff. And so I think this is especially for international students to get to know other things aside from your own country and China.
I would say for me, just make your life as busy as you can. Literally, just for example, this semester, this is my second year, so it wasn't anything crazy, but I actually met a lot of new people when I came to play football with other internationals and with just other people. It was just basically make your life as busy as you can, and you're just going to get used to it. You're going to find people that you share interests with, and you're going to be fine.
Okay, how fast did you get used to new life? When have you built your schedule in terms of sport, studies, and your self-study time?
I honestly think for me, it took a good 2 months of just settling in, figuring out how WeChat, Alipay, Didi works, all that stuff, how to get around places, where to go for the right places, on campus, where to study, right? Stuff like that. I think it took me a bit of time, but I got there in the end.
I'll say for same for me. Basically, the first 2-3 months, just spend as much time just trying to understand what is what, and then you just get used to it. You don't even notice it when you actually are used to it. You just are.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like 1 minute you're learning, and that's before you know it, it all becomes natural. Yeah. One day, it just didn't feel like I was abroad anymore. It just felt like it came second nature in some respect.
Yeah, that's great. Because this is my first year and second semester, and I feel like this semester is coming really fast compared to the previous one. I don't even imagine how the months came through. And so, we're gonna do one activity. You have to teach each other one sentence in your native language.
So I think the first word that I learned from here in China is chaga. So I think that could be just this. So basically, in Latin would be das, T-A-S, das. Yeah. Would you say das? That's equivalent of the chaga. And if you want to ask someone, how's someone feeling, ni hao ma, basically you can say, ka tu you tis. It's in Latvian.
So we have to repeat it.
So there are three words. Ka.
Ka.
Tu.
Tu.
Jūties.
Jūties.
Yeah. Ka tu jūties.
Kartfilotes.
Yeah, it's basically the same, how's your day?
In Malaysia, I guess. Okay, yeah, for Jago, ini, like I-N-I.
Mm-hmm.
Like, aku nak ini. I want this one. Aku nak ini. It's like N-A-K, but like, you don't really say the K. Aku nak? Yeah.
Aku nak ini.
Yeah. I could also teach, thank you. So, terima kasih. Okay. I mean, it's quite...
Terima kasih.
Terima kasih.
It's an interesting word.
Yeah.
I can say, how can I get there? Yeah, let's say this. Как я могу попасть туда? Okay.
Как
я могу?
Я могу.
Попасть. Туда.
Туда.
Как я могу попасть туда? Okay, let's try. Break it into like parts.
Как я могу попасть туда?
Как я могу?
Как я могу? Попасть туда?
Попасть туда.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's try.
Как я могу попасть туда?
Как я могу попасть туда?
Как я могу попасть туда?
Куда?
Туда. Туда. Because actually, куда is the other word, like where, just where.
Really?
Yeah, because like you can ask, where can I go? And you will say, куда я пойду? So, mm-hmm. куда, and instead of туда.
Yeah, I will definitely go to Russia. I won't remember any of that.
But at least, do you know like some words, other words? Do you know how to say hello in Russian? Because some Chinese people, like my classmates, they actually know. Yeah, they were like, oh, здравствуйте. And I was like, yeah, right.
Oh,
or привет.
Привет.
Sorry,
Dan. Russia,
what? Чуть-чуть.
Yeah, я понимаю по-русски. Чуть-чуть. That's like, I understand Russian only a little bit.
Yeah.
That's like,
that's cool.
I used to actually like be able to like understand what people were like talking Russian, but it's been a while since I've practice.
Okay, then thank you all guys for sharing your experience, journeys, and insights. It's been a pleasure learning how like your education systems work and like your expectations and student life was here. For our listeners, thank you for tuning this episode, and we'll see you next time. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.